This is The Producers with Ryan Dream, a podcast designed for radio imaging, commercial production, all things audio. Feedback is encouraged at ryanontheradio.com.
All right, welcome to it. Thank you again for tuning in here and grabbing the podcast. As always, thanks for all the email that I get from everybody. I'll have some more notes at the end of part two as well, but I did want to just knock out a couple things real quick right here. First, which has been pretty popular, actually, the alien imaging link you can find on my website, ryanontheradio.com. There's just a little picture of an alien imaging thing there. Click that, and you can get yourself a free sample pack. Jeff Schmidt is the guy behind Alien Imaging, and he does a lot of really cool kits over there. Some real freaky deaky alti stuff, some straight up CHR stuff. Warp is the one I like a lot. But anyway, you get the sample pack for free. There's no strings attached, no giving up a child, no giving away your social security number, any of that. And then if you want to purchase some stuff from him, which he does have broken down into different packages, so you can get, you know, pretty inexpensive packs, or you can, you know, if you're rolling on the dough, you can get everything, but it's all 20% off. But you got to use that link on my website, so hopefully you enjoy that. I've got a couple more things to feature, which I'll talk about at the end of part two. Nick Daly's the guest coming up here in moments, as you've no doubtly read in the description there. Nick has given me a ton of cool stuff, and this I've decided to mention logically before I get into the interview. I don't know why I didn't do this before, but he has given me some screen caps of some of his sessions and plugins. So we'll talk about some things, and you'll be able to actually see them while we talk about them. It's pretty basic, but go to the podcast page on the website and then hit the show notes section, which you'll have to expand down below, and he'll be the first thing there. Some screen caps. And then there's a lot of other audio from Nick that I've posted there. Two things to feature would be one of these, this outtakes thing he did a few years ago, but it's very well produced. But it's, you know, just VO outtakes, and all of us have dealt with this kind of stuff many, many times, or at least from time to time. And he put them all together in a nicely produced deal there. It's long form, but you can play that on the website. You can also hear a station launch that he did, and I thought that was really cool. A little long to be played in the middle of the episode, but definitely worth a listen. Hey, those are those fun pieces of production you get to do where time isn't really a factor, so you can get real detailed and you can really sink your teeth into it. And I posted that one, plus a lot of other Nick Daly audio on the website. I will mention I'm going to play some Nick FLZ and also Glenn Beck audio to kick it off. And a song that he produced called Anticipation. So it's like a sports hype me up type song. We're going to play that. That's what I'll actually bump us into the interview with, just so you know. That's what you'll be hearing there. Because I don't make mention of it when we start the interview, but it's pretty cool, worth a listen, and just kind of hear what, you know, your standard radio imaging guy can become. A really cool music producer as well. So let's dive in. Nick Daly Audio coming at you.
FLZ. With $250,000, you could have one hell of a summer.
Hi, my name's Summer. And I'm really hot.
Yeah, not that summer.
93.3's got the topless summer.
Your brain may melt. Your eardrums may bleed. But your ass,
I gotta get through this,
will thank you as you shake it to the top 93 of 2002. All day, New Year's Eve on 93.3 FLZ. Cramming the year's 93 biggest tunes into one long hit of auditory adrenaline. And there's still time to guess the number one song of the year and qualify for a trip to the American Music Awards in L.A. Just log on to 93.3FLZ.com and take your shot. But you better hurry. The top 93 of 2002. Only on the world famous 93.3FLZ. Today.
Here comes that idiot in your office again.
And that's why I donated to moveon.chrisdodd.acorn.amnestyforall.biz.
All you wanted to do was sip your coffee in peace.
What are you talking about? Look, I heard Jon Stewart say the exact opposite, and the crowd laughed really hard, so I know it's true. And then he made this funny face, and I just
You quickly considered throwing your scalding hot coffee mug into his face. But that would probably just make him more annoying.
Oh, now I have to go to the hospital. You know, if we lived in Cuba, I'd be able to take a mule to the ER and get treated for free. For free!
Isn't it about time that you solve this problem once and for all?
And it's gonna take a miracle to get this coffee stain out of my shirt. Good thing we have Obama.
Shut Up the Idiot in Your Life with Glenn's new book, Arguing with Idiots, How to Stop Small Minds and Big Government. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Oh, please, I don't ever shop at a bookstore. Maybe I'll go to the library where books are free for the people and...
Or order at glennbeck.com/booksart.
Net neutrality! Net neutrality!
Please, oh please, get your copy today.
Tray killer!
Feel this, feel this. Brain just down, but your body keeps rocking. Feel this, not stopping. Brain just down, but you're down, but you're down, but you feel this, not stopping. Brain just down, but you're down, but your body keeps not stopping. Brain just down, but your brain just down, but you feel this, not stopping. Feel this, not stopping. Feel this, not stopping. Your brain just down, but your body keeps rocking. Your brain just down, but your body keeps rocking. Chest down, but you're down, but you're down, but you feel this. Your brain chest down, but your body keeps rocking. Feel this. Your brain chest down, but your brain chest down. Your brain chest down, but your brain chest down. Feel this.
All right, here we go. With our 17th installment of the Producers Podcast, we have a very, very solid producer and also a pretty talented voiceover artist, Nick Daly. Hey, Nick, thanks for being on here with me.
Hey, Ryan, no problem. Anytime.
I have written up, I'm going to try yours a little different here. We're going to be just popping in some of your audio. You gave me so much audio for people to hear, which is really cool. So I'm just going to kind of drop that in throughout between questions and whatnot. And then I've just come up with a list of, because I'm trying to dive in. We're going to get to your background in a minute, but what people may or may not know about Nick is this guy has a thousand just amazing skills that take him into the music world, the radio world, the voice world, and other production facets, I'm sure. So, did I build you up too much there?
Well, I never know what to say. I'm blushing, so.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I won't gush too much then. But start us off. You said you started off when you were like a teenager or something?
Yeah. Maybe even earlier in my, on my parents' first computer, you know, trying to illegally download some program. I think I remember buying some program on like 18 floppy disks back in the day, you know, from some kid at school. But my first kind of studio experience, I suppose, was when I was a teenager in high school. Started off with a local radio station, just being a morning show idiot, you know, and going out and dancing in front of traffic cameras and cleaning up ridiculous stains that I don't even know what they were in a production room. So, you know, typical intern stuff.
Yeah. And was that, you're in Florida the whole time, right?
No, actually, I grew up in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I left there to go to college, but otherwise I went to high school in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Okay. I actually.
Small town.
I didn't know that. I thought you were a real Florida guy the whole way.
No. I think that's probably why I like living here. It seems like people who are from here want to get out as soon as possible.
So eventually, though, I guess you want to take us to FLZ. You get to FLZ?
Yeah, well, I was at a station called The Cat in Lexington, Kentucky for a while, and then I left there to go to recording engineering school, and that's when I thought, oh, I'm done with radio. I'm moving into, you know, music now, and that's it, and that's where I'm going to stay.
Okay.
And I continued to do some side stuff for radio stations just to help make some money because I was starving. And I couldn't have a job because this school is 6 or 7 days a week, and it's a 24-hour day operation. So you're there at 3 in the morning, you know, sometimes 9 at night or 5 in the afternoon. Nobody would hire me. So I even tried to get a couple of jobs at radio stations in Orlando, and I couldn't, but I was sending out my tape like crazy. So about halfway through my school year, maybe about 3 months left, I got a call from Eric Chase. And I knew who he was, you know, and I knew he was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how did you get my phone number? And why are you calling me, you know? And he said, well, I have an assistant position open. If you would like to come up and interview, I heard your tape. Somebody sent it to me. And it turns out that it was this guy who I was nagging the crap out of to get a job in Orlando, was just tired of hearing from me. So he sent my tape to Eric and said, please hire this guy and get him off my phone. And so I drove up and did a couple of interviews with Eric, and he hired me, and that's kind of how I started at FLC.
Yeah. When about was that?
That was 2000, I believe.
Okay. And Eric was there for how long while you were there?
He left in 2003 to go do Chase Cut.
Sure.
So I think for about 3 years or so, we overlapped.
Okay.
And I was his assistant up until he left. And then I took over for him. But we, even to this day, continue to work closely together.
Yeah. I was going to get to that in a bit. But so it was kind of obvious, though, at that point that you were just going to fill his shoes right then when he walked over to Premiere, right?
I had hoped so, at least. You know, I think I was kind of worried that maybe Jeff Capucci was going to, you know, look for somebody a little more experienced, you know, because this was, you know, and I was honestly scared to death.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Eric's legendary. And I just thought, oh man, here I am going to have to, I'm always going to be compared to Eric Chase.
Yeah.
And I never wanted somebody to go, oh, the promo's good, but not as good as Eric's, you know? So, I was really nervous, but I'm glad Jeff, you know, kind of put trust in me and let me take over.
Yeah, I guess kind of similar to the ultra talented guys that went into KRRQ in LA, you know, after Frost walked out of there.
And I mean, Will, you know, Will was clearly qualified for the job,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, I think you've spoken to Will before here.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, even he was scared going, I don't know if I can do that, you know, coming after John.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. Some of these guys that everybody in this, you know, in our little world knows of as being, you know, super talented, still had to walk in just like you walk in after these, you know, I guess kind of living legend type dudes.
Yeah. I think there's always a precursor to, there's always that guy that you're terrified, you don't know if you can replace.
Yeah.
And there's always kind of a lack of confidence, I think, in anybody who's creative. There's always a, I don't know if I'm that good.
In darkness, there is no distance. Fear becomes physical. Shadows become demons. And objective reality becomes a victim of your imagination. You try to scream. But you're too busy soiling yourself.
All because 93.3 FLC threw you into a dark pit of terror. Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights at Islands of Fear. Keep listening to Stab, a pair of tickets.
93.3 FLZ.
FLZ time now, and you're on your own there. Tell me kind of about the, I mean, without getting too in-depth, because we got a lot to discuss, but, you know, what was the work environment like there at FLZ?
Oh, it was amazing. I first started with Domino, and when Domino, you know, was there, he, I think he left before Eric left, but Dom was just amazing, and as far as letting us have our creative freedom. And then Jeff Capucci came, and he had been there before anyway.
Mm.
And so he was used to that. He was used to working with Eric and letting people have their, you know, their freedom. I never had to run anything by a PD before I put it on the air. You know, it was like I would write something, and generally I think I would kind of run it by Eric in the beginning before I produced it and then put it on the air. But Jeff gave me complete freedom, and I think that was a rarity in the industry.
Yeah. When you were there with Eric, was there like a set sort of, you know, a set group of things that each of you took care of, or did you all or both kind of do it all?
We both kind of did it all. I think in the beginning, Eric would spearhead all the projects, and it was if maybe something he didn't want to do, or maybe he thought that I might enjoy doing it more than he would, then he would hand me a project. And it started off slow, you know, I had to run everything by him, and, you know, and I mean, I was terrible. I was terrible when I first started. It was awful. But you know what was cool is that I would produce something, and I was in this little tiny, I literally started on this card table in a little closet that they used to, where they had two turntables and a bunch of records, and that's where they spun the mix show on Friday and Saturday night. And so I had to move out whenever they would come in to do the show. So I was in this little room that was ridiculously hot, and it turns out this is the same place that Brian James used to do his voiceover from, and I remember Eric telling me that he would walk in and see Brian just pouring down sweat. And I was like, I'm with that dude because I am roasting in this room. And so, but anyway, I eventually moved into this little studio and Eric would come by and I would play him something and he would be able to say, you know what, let's just move this here and let's put that there. And there you go. And it would make the promo 200% better than it was.
That's crazy. I'd say that's probably true more often than not when an extra pair of ears can just do these little tweaks that you know you just can't get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's great to have a fresh pair of ears no matter, you know, who it's coming from, whether they're experienced or not in production. You know, sometimes they listen to it from a different perspective than you do.
Do you think that luxury exists? I mean, how much do you think that luxury exists today where you have multiple producers at a station or even in a building that have a lot of talent that can hear each other's stuff?
I think it's virtually dead at this point. Yeah. I mean, my complaint used to be to Jim Cook at Clear Channel, was the vice president of creative at Clear Channel. I used to say, Jim, there's no training ground anymore. There's nobody at the station that's been there for a long time to be able to train the next person to come in and say, here's what I've learned while I've been here. It's kind of, you know, a station will fire their creative person and then they'll hire somebody who's never done it before. And, you know, they may have unbelievable creative talent and potential, but they don't have anybody to show them, mm-hmm. you know, or to be constructive with them.
Sometimes a big roadblock to talent is the technical stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. And sometimes people get hung up on that. I mean, it is important, but, you know, I mean, I've seen people make incredible stuff with a razor blade and tape. So,
right. I just think even just saying Pro Tools, like, you know, if somebody has a lot of creativity, you know, there's super creative people out there, but you put them in front of Pro Tools and their mind starts to steam and their head spins and they're like, I can't do this, you know? And you're mm-hmm. right. I think that the farm system is important that we don't really have.
Yeah. Well, I think some part of understanding why it is that you're turning that knob.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, it definitely helps because if you're just sitting there aimlessly turning things, you don't know exactly why you're doing what you're doing. So it's kind of a time waster and it's a frustration point.
Mm.
When you go, I'm tweaking the crap out of this knob and nothing's happening. And you don't know why.
93.3 FLC. This weekend, go jogging with Britney Spears. Straight to the box office.
Ouch.
For a full refund.
Hello.
Then jog your dial to 93.3 FLZ to win really cool stuff.
Hello.
That won't get canceled.
Ouch.
Unlike her virginity and marriage.
What?
Nothing.
I heard that.
So there you have it. Keep listening all weekend.
Except what?
And don't fall down. Oh.
I think I broke my leg. 93.3
FLZ.
So talk about your day now. Well, you leave FLZ in 07. And is that right? 07?
Yeah.
And you go off. I mean, you have your own company. You're doing a lot of voice work. You're with the Glenn Beck Show. So in 07 to now, what kind of things have been going on with you?
Well, in 07, I left to work for Glenn's company because it was just the right time. I was really ready for a change. And I think every producer's dream is to work out of their house. So that was definitely a selling point. Even though now I think it's kind of I go a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But I was ready to move on and try some different stuff. And I wanted to do post-production for, you know, sound design for film at some point and try some music stuff, you know, if I ever had time.
Mm.
And I wanted to get into voiceover stuff a little bit, even though, you know, there are plenty of people out there who do it better than I do. But I kind of liked that. I liked sitting in the chair and trying something new.
They don't do it better. They do it different.
That's a good way to look at it. Well, I mean, I think there are definitely some people who are clearly better.
Well, I didn't say that.
But, you know, I think now it's been cool because I've been able to, Glenn gives me freedom to do other projects, you know, as well. As long as I'm getting his stuff done, then I'm able to take on these side projects through my company, which can be, you know, anything from maybe a little sound design for a little cartoon piece or something, or maybe it's voiceover or, you know, or whatever.
Are you working just on Glenn's radio side or are you doing some stuff with his TV show too?
It's mostly radio, but there's some television stuff that comes into play from time to time. So, and then, you know, and there's a lot of web stuff that's happening now. Glenn's moving a lot towards the web to kind of embrace that online listener who may not have his show in their city, you know, or maybe people who are used to watching him on TV and they just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Bear AM radio, mm-hmm. or I don't know what it is, but there are people who like to see his face.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I guess that's just the way to go. You know, a lot of people are watching TV online now, and
sure,
he's smart to get into that.
Are there skills that a radio producer or imaging producer might have that they could focus on that would then translate well to film sound design?
Yeah, I think in the film world, mixing and manipulating sound with a purpose is a huge asset to have. When you're in just kind of making a weird sound just for the hell of it is cool, but you know, if somebody can tell you I need this robot to sound like it's half dysfunctional and still intelligent, then you have to kind of know where to start and where you want to end up, so have a bit of direction to it. So I think that's where the technical side of thing comes in, and hearing the world differently.
Quiet, free from noise or uproar, gentle, calm, tranquil. Storm, a disturbance of the atmosphere, a sudden or violent commotion, a tumultuous outburst. What you're about to hear is the smoldering musical union of polar opposites. This is Joe Mama's Quiet Storm.
933, baby. Yeah.
This is Jennifer Lopez.
It wasn't me.
This is Ricky Martin.
Sugar!
Big station ruling the nation.
93.3
FLZ's The Big One.
Version 2.0.
Speed it!
If I could fall into the sky.
If you want to, I can save you.
The Big One.
Version 2.0.
Upgrade now.
Are you ready?
93.3 FLZ.
This is your pinkness.
I asked Dom Nero this, and this might be related to this. Is there a tool or two? Whether it be a plug-in or some tool that a producer just has to have, something you can't live without?
For sound design, a software sampler, for sure. Something like Motu's Mach 5 2, or maybe something like Transfuser from DigiDesign, something like that, where you can take a piece of a sound that you've recorded and turn it into something completely different with the keyboard or MIDI guitar or whatever you happen to, whatever your trigger device is.
So this is like you could record me saying hello. Something simple like that, and then you can manipulate it via. Is that all via MIDI or?
Yeah, mostly it's mostly MIDI, and you can I could take you saying hello and map you across the keyboard so that each octave either pitches you up or down, or time stretches you independent of pitch, and then maybe run you through some filters or something like that, reverse it or whatever. But yeah, it definitely gives you the freedom to perform a sound rather than just sit there and click around on it.
Tell me, what was the first piece of the Motu 5?
Yeah, the Mach 5. The Mach 2 is a sampler from Motu. And it's pretty robust.
Is this an external piece of hardware, or is this a plug-in, a software?
No, this is a plug-in, and you can get it for VST for non-Pro Tools users, and then they also have an Artes version for Pro Tools.
Okay.
And I believe they have an MAS version as well. But... it's pretty flexible. I will say that now it's kind of broken in Pro Tools 8. It's a huge CPU hog all of a sudden, and Motu is taking a long time to come out with an update.
Okay.
So if you can find something else, find it until they fix it.
But if that's something somebody's interested in kind of trying out, like really trying to manipulate sound for a purpose, and they want to start with one tool, would the Transfuser maybe be a good place to start if they want to just get creative?
A Transfuser is really cool for beat-oriented manipulation.
Okay.
Because it's all on the clock with Pro Tools or whatever. I think it is only Pro Tools.
I would imagine, right?
And so it's all on the clock, and you can essentially take something and slice it up and gate it and manipulate it all inside this plugin. So it's kind of a self-standing thing, but there is no... no easy way that I've found yet, at least, to treat it as a sampler and map it across the key and you know, do the same things I could do in Mach 5.
This might be a good time to get into your setup. You know, do you say you do 100% of your work from home now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh. I don't even, I hardly ever leave my house, unfortunately.
What do you have going? Like, maybe start with your mic chain, because you do a lot of VO from home, right?
Yeah. I use a 416, like about every other voice person out there, and I run into a blue Robbie preamp,
okay,
which is just a tube. It's got one knob on it.
Okay.
And then I go into Pro Tools and just, because my current room at the moment is a little bit noisy, yeah. So I run it through a Sony Oxford gate, or Sonox now.
Have you?
And then from the gate into just a little bit of light compression, and I roll off a little bit of the low end just to keep it from being boomy.
As far as gates go, I think that from the questions I've received via email and even my own trials and tribulations, room noise is probably the biggest problem that especially the the more mid-level voiceover artists are dealing with.
Right.
Have you tried out a lot of gates? Can you say with authority that one is the best, or can you tell us other gates to try?
Yes, I've tried. I had a Focusrite VoiceMaster Pro for a while, which is, you know, was kind of my entry-level thing a few years ago, and the gate on it was just awful. I mean, it was, you know, the slightest bit of noise somewhere would make it go,
yeah.
You know, you just had this weird sound, and it made it a little bit harsh and crunchy. And, you know, I've tried the built-in Digi stuff and the Waves gates, and it's just nothing yet has compared, at least, to this Sonox, which I just think is the gate just sounds great. You know, it doesn't color the sound too much.
Tell everybody, what was that gate again?
Sonox. It used to be the Sony. It's part of the Oxford series.
Okay.
And it used to be Sony, but they changed the company name to Sonox.
And that's just a gate?
Or yeah, it's part of the Dynamics bundle, so they have a gate, expander, okay. A compressor, and a limiter. It's kind of all in one plug. It's a channel strip.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Have you tried the audio track plugin from Waves?
I have, but I haven't tried the gate on that.
Because that's what I use, and I kind of like it. And I'm wondering if I'm just a dork and I don't know what I'm doing.
No, I mean, it really depends on the room too. I think as to what sounds that gate is actually working on. So,
what about the other? What kind of Pro Tools are you using, and what's your computer system?
I'm using an Intel quad Mac Pro, and I have a Pro Tools HD2 Excel.
Okay.
System so I was on LE for a while back at the station and back in my FLZ days, and then I switched to TDM and I just couldn't go back.
Oh, right, because of all the resources you suddenly have.
Yeah, and not only that, but just real-time monitoring through a chain with no latency.
Oh, I do run into latency issues with my Digio too.
Do you? I've wondered if people were on the road, you know, when they travel.
Oh,
if they have issues,
I would imagine, right? I mean, I wanted to get what. Tell me anything else about the setup you got there. What else do you have in your studio?
I have a couple of MIDI controllers, just for you know, I have a little small one that sits in front of me all the time, and then a larger full size keyboard that kind of sits over to the right, and I have another machine that I use to run Logic and. Email and, you know, all the other stuff. I basically use Logic as a giant software sampler.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's, to me, Logic is completely illogical, and people may write hate mail for that, but
I've heard people say it's more simple than anything else.
You know,
I've never
found it that way. I've been on Pro Tools since version 4 or something.
Oh,
like
is that
so,
right? Okay.
So I'm just used to the Pro Tools workflow.